Now, back to Murph and Mac on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Paul, that was your guy. Right. Tommy Fleetwood. He had the hole-in-one yesterday. So
there you go, man.
And I know, did you know, I mean, I'm giving you credit, but you took him. You know he's the long-haired guy. So is that you take him for the hair, right?
Well, and also just the combination of Tommy Lee and Mick Fleetwood, I figured wouldn't steer me wrong. Yeah. Right.
Plus, you'd like his hair. He has rock and roll hair. There you go. The Masters is underway, and you are listening to the KNBR Morning Show on KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. Pretty much the only guy in the United States who can double dip with us today on the Masters and the Giants home opener is our next guest. On the UMA guest line, covering the Masters, but he can still drop some knowledge on the Giants, our guy Dave Fleming, who's just having the week of weeks to be calling ball games and the Masters. So, Flem, happy Masters week. Congrats on your second Masters, I think, after last November. And welcome back to Murph and Mac. How you doing, man?
Hey.
This is number two. I'm doing great. Today is the one day out of this great week where, I would like to be there for the home opener and see Oracle Park with Giants fans inside. So I'm a little wistful about that today. But I did wake up in Augusta, and I'm about to head to the golf course after I talk to you guys. So that makes me feel a little better.
Wistful is a good word. You're right. Listen, we can't have it all, right? We can't have the cake and eat it. We can't have a home openers and Masters. You gotta choose.
But I like to have it all. I like to eat it, right. Have the cake, ice it, all that stuff. I do. I like to have everything.
Man, what a great, great, great assignment. And here you are. Okay, let's talk Masters before we get into the Giants. I'm watching Justin Rose right now on this incredible Masters app, which, by the way, we hear you on, right? If people want to hear their phlegm, you're on Masters.com and ESPN Plus. Is that right?
Correct. So my assignment this week is holes 4, 5, and 6. So when you go to Masters.com or the ESPN Plus app, you know, you have these choices. You can do featured groups. You can do live on the range. And hole 4, 5, 6 is one of your channels. So that's where my coverage is. Sean McDonough and I are splitting it up. So yesterday I had the morning. Today I have the afternoon. And Saturday, Sunday, I'll have the full coverage on holes 4, 5, and 6, and they're great holes. And often, they're holes where maybe the main featured television coverage isn't focusing on. So it's a good chance to see holes that maybe you don't often see. Anyway, maybe it's really fun to be a part of. And you're right, the technology and the access that they give us now to the tournament is unlike it's ever been. I mean, it's really, really impressive.
It's insane. If Major League Baseball had something like this, where you could just like flip around just with an index finger and be looking at every Lance Lynn pitch or every Mercedes home run for the whatever. I mean, there's just the Masters is people should just go to the darn app or to ESPN or to Masters.com and check it out. Hey, Flem, just a little bit on those holes. The 4, 5, and 6. Those are hard holes. You don't see many birdies, right? I mean, in fact, you see guys bleeding strokes, particularly on 5.
Yeah, 5 has played now. So yesterday it was the second hardest hole. The last two Masters before this year, 5 was the hardest hole. Each of those Masters, it's just a brutally tough hole. And when you watch these, literally the best players in the world and the best players that the world has ever seen, and they're just struggling to figure out, how do I make a par on this hole? I mean, it is really, really tough. 4 and 6 are both par 3s, so you get the drama of a par 3. But hole 4, they've been playing the Masters for 83 years. One of the guys that I'm working with this week is Jeff Sluman. Jeff Sluman has the only hole-in-one in the history of the Masters on hole number 4. There's been one. I mean, you think about how many rounds have been played by all the great players in history. There's been one hole-in-one at hole number 4 in history, so it's a hard par 3. And number 6 is, number 6 has been, over the years, it's a downhill par 3 that has gone on to, players who play that hole well often contend, and Tiger Woods is probably the greatest player in the history of hole 6, and a big part of his Masters success over the years was playing that hole really well. So, you could probably come up with those nuggets for every hole out there, but it's 3 holes that I really love watching.
Dave Fleming, the voice you hear live from Augusta, Georgia. You can hear him on ESPN Plus or Masters.com, holes 4, 5, and 6. It'll be great. You know, it's funny just hearing you talk about Jeff Sluman and Tiger and the history. It just dawned on me. So you think about great sports, like you do college basketball, and then we all watch the Warriors in the NBA, and of course we're all monster 49ers fans. But I would say the two sports there, golf and baseball, might be more historical. Like you, it sounds like you maybe studied the Masters, kind of the past and how things played there. Does it feel, am I right on the right track here, where golf and baseball, when you're calling those events, history matters, maybe golf the most, where history comes into the broadcast the most?
Yeah, you could probably have a fight about that. Where does tradition matter the most to its fans? Where does history? Because I think those are the two sports that are clearly above the others in that regard. And maybe it's part of what I love about both of them. I mean, I think people who love baseball often do love golf and vice versa. And maybe that's a big part of it. You know, they're sort of stick ball sports. There's a similarity in how you play them, although a lot of differences, obviously. But there is a connection for sure. And the Masters, way above everything else, has the tradition in this sport. Almost like, you know, you go to Fenway and go to Wrigley and, you know, 100 years from now, people will be saying, yeah, you walk inside Oracle Park and it's that, you know, that history. The Masters is like that for golf. So, yeah, and you know what? You're probably right in that that's one of the reasons why I love the two so very much. They're my two favorite things to cover. They're my two favorite sports.
Hey, just inside, I totally agree. Inside broadcasting, what's the different strategy in calling baseball versus calling golf? You know, they're both kind of sports where you don't have to. Like Bill King calling Warriors games is rat-a-tat-tat, just spewing verbiage at you. And totally opposite, right, in these two sports. Do you just have to lay back, or what's the strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, TV radio is different, but on TV in golf, I mean, TV golf really, truly, the less you say, the more people are going to like you. Just, you know, who's more beloved? You know, Jim Nantz certainly is, but Vern Lundquist, you know, people just absolutely love Vern. On golf. He's still doing hole 16 here at the Masters. I've had two really long, lovely conversations with Vern over these last few days. And, awesome. And Vern, you know, Vern just, here's Tommy Fleetwood. and that's it. until something really spectacular happens. It's a great lesson. Just let people watch and maybe punch up the big moments. And if there's some context you can put on it, great. But, you know, one thing that's been funny of this last year, I think for both sports, but golf more than any other, without as many fans, the audio of players and caddies and players narrating their own shots. I mean, to me, it's fascinating. And I miss the fans in golf big time, especially at the Masters, you know, the huge, huge gatherings and the big roars. But you also do get something really cool. And that insight into player strategy that it was hard to pick up before. So maybe even more so than ever, I try to let some of that bleed through. So if I'm, you know, calling a shot, but I hear the player and caddy talking, I'm not talking. I'm going to listen.
It's like having access to a catcher-pitcher mound meeting, really.
It is exactly, you know what I mean? Right. It really, really is. And it's you know, we find out stuff that we – you know, you sort of think you know the game, but you find out some stuff that you would never have heard before.
Now, I mean, the difference is, of course, they're just playing against the course, whereas if we mic'd a pitcher, catcher, mound meeting, opposing dugouts would be mining it for information, right? So you can't do it. But
yeah,
shout out Will Clark reading Greg Maddux's lips, right? So, wow, it's great talking golf and broadcasting with Dave Fleming live from Augusta. Just quickly on this actual tournament this year, talk to us a little bit about the course conditions. People were commenting about the brown greens, the high scores, and the theory. And, of course, the Masters, Augusta National will never say this, but can we deduce that they were not happy that Dustin Johnson set a scoring record last November? And they're like, okay, we're gonna make this thing a little tougher for you.
You know, I don't know, because all the locals here, even during the practice rounds, I was on the grounds on Wednesday, just walking around talking to players and locals and whatnot, and they say it's been a very dry spring here. So part of it is just in this part of the world, you expect this time of year, there's going to be some rain, if not every day. Like, you know, every other day you might have a shower, a storm, and they really haven't had much of it. So I think part of it was by design. Hey, it's an April Masters again, and we want those greens rolling like they usually do. But part of it may just be, for the players at least, bad luck that it hasn't rained a whole lot in these last few weeks, and so they're bearing the brunt of that. I love the way it's playing, And I, you know, brown to me, you know, you hear this in golf sometimes, brown is beautiful. Like, I, when the greens look like that, I love it. It's a super fun golf to play. If anybody's ever been up to Bandon Dunes, or you go over to play in Scotland or Ireland, that's the way greens look over there. I know it's a little unusual for Augusta National, but I think it played beautifully. And Justin Rose proved it wasn't impossible. It wasn't unfair. There were players who played well yesterday, but you had to play with strategy. There are, you know, this is a golf course where if you're in the wrong spot, you're in big trouble. If you're in the right spot, you got a chance to shoot some low scores. And Justin Rose showed that beautifully yesterday. And I think there are some other players who could probably learn from the way he played. Some of these younger guys who are super talented, but it seems to me are just not looking at the golf course in the proper way when it's playing the way that it should.
Are you right now coughing like an animal house saying, Bryson DeChambeau? Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I think Bryson is absolutely like that. You have to be precise. You know, this Augusta National wants you to be precise. They want you to look at the hole and say, where do I need to be in relation to where the hole is that day to have a chance to putt for birdie, make a good score? And Bryson, to me, is just, you know, it's just brute golf, which is, you know, can be fun to watch. It's certainly fascinating to watch him swing the driver, but the nuance of how, you know, he's staring at this book the whole time, but the nuance of how far he's hitting it and maybe taking a little off a club every once in a while, to me, just isn't there.
Nuances matter. Nuances matter. Hey, I wanted to get to some Giants real quick, but just a couple more on the Masters here real quick. Justin Rose has already given a shot back to the field. That shows how golf is hard. He's only a 3-shot lead over the Mark Leishmans, the Brian Harmans, the Hideki Matsuyamas. But just real quick on the guy, like if you look at the top 10, and these things will change dramatically by the end of the day, I know. But if you look at the top 10, it's good players, great players. They all qualify, but none of the really, really super famous guys. Leishman's always a contender. Harmon's a nice little player, barely got in. Matsuyama, of course, you know. But the big boys, the Dustin Johnson, 74. Rory McIlroy, 76. Bryson DeChambeau, 76. You know, is there a style that fits this next few days? And I guess the corollary is there expected rain that will change it for the weekend?
Well, I do think if it does rain, and tomorrow, I guess, is the day, I try to resist being an amateur weatherman because, you know, everybody wants to have a opinion on the forecast and what it's going to be, and I just try to stay out of that. But I think tomorrow's the day where we're most likely to have some rain. And I do think that changes things a little bit. Like Brian Harmon is a really good player and played great yesterday. He would have a harder time, I think, if it gets a little wetter and there's not as much rollout. So I think it makes the longer players more prominent here if it gets a little wet. To me, anybody who's like 2 over or better has a real chance this week. So I think that brings a lot of those players in play. And I still think John Rahm is a great fit for this golf course. Super, super talented. I watched him a lot yesterday. After I was finished with my coverage, I went out and walked and followed his group. And I thought he hit a lot of good shots and just didn't get a lot out of it. So I still think John Rahm is kind of a name to circle. And you know, Patrick Reed has always played here. He's a big name. Webb Simpson's a really good player. So we'll see. Justin Rose does have to give a little back. He just got another birdie two to get back to 7 under. So that, you know, that means they are in a way going to have to rely on him stumbling. But I would imagine that it's not going to just be totally smooth sailing for him.
And Jordan Spieth is in a nice spot.
He is. You know, he made just a horrible decision yesterday on number 9. To hit the shot he hit out of the trees. And I just don't know. I just don't get that. And it wasn't the time for it. It wasn't the situation for it. And then he compounded it and made a triple. Other than that, he really played well. He had a lot of good shots. So Jordan is in a good place, and he loves this place. And if there's one thing about the Masters that everybody who's watching or making picks or whatever, there is no tournament that's even close, and it's for obvious reasons. But past history matters here way more than anything. And if there are players who play this course well, and those players tend to play it well over and over and over again. And so Jordan Spieth is definitely one of those. And with his game back in sort of Spieth form, He should be a contender over the weekend.
And even though he has never, as he said, I've never put one arm in the jacket, but Justin Rose has played well here over and over and over again. So maybe this is his time. Maybe this is his time. I don't know. He's one of those guys that every year you think about taking in your pool. And it just happened to be the year I didn't take him. I've taken him like four other times. So, but again, a lot of golf left. A lot of golf left. But some great stuff. And including, by the way, just shout out San Francisco native Will Zalatoris is on there. And he's a promising young kid who was born in San Francisco, so we'll give him a little love.
Loves the Giants. Huge Giants fan, Will Zalatoris.
So we'll end it on that. Flem, I'm going out there today. Adam Copeland's going out there today. I'll be there with my family. It's going to be emotional, obviously. I'm also going to see a team that had a nice week, I thought. I thought they competed pretty well the first week, and certainly one, you know, gave – it's not going to be a – I think this is going to be a competitive team is what I'm trying to say. Only on one week, I was a little impressed, especially taking 2 of 3 in San Diego. I know Tatis was out, but still, that to me was a little bit of a statement. What was your read?
Well, you know, number one, the offense is going to be way better than it's been. I mean, I really don't think the Giants, they have so many options. I guess it's possible. It's possible you have a year where everybody has a down year. But, the Giants have such a deep lineup without superstars, but with so many different parts that I think the Giants offense is going to be good. So it was so encouraging that the pitching was as good as it was. I thought it was a great first week for the Giants. First of all, they just handed away a game, in the opening series against Seattle. There's no way you should lose that game. I mean, that was just, we'll look back on it, and that'll be the worst game of the year, I think, the opener. And the bullpen is the easiest thing to sort of fix on the fly, and the bullpen has been good, but, a little leaky at times. So if you need to make adjustments, that's the easiest part of your team to adjust. And I was just so encouraged by the starting pitching. That was a great start for the Giants. So they're going to hit a lot of these hitters who are struggling are going to get it going at some point. And, I'm encouraged. I mean, I think it can be a really competitive team. I also think you look across the National League and some of the teams you think are going to be good, maybe they'll be good, and maybe their people are saying the same thing that I'm saying. But maybe the league isn't quite as good as I thought it was going to be, and I think the Giants can be in the playoff race.
Oh, well, we'll find out for sure. But what are your hours today? 4:35 first pitch for you. Are you going to be able to sneak a little app on the phone to the side?
Well, the one thing is the phones. You're not allowed to have phones out on the golf course at all. No phones, nothing. Which is a great rule. You go to Augusta right now is the only place in the world where people are looking up and not down at their phones. People are talking to each other and looking at what's in front of them. It's the only place in the world, and there's something that's just great about it because they don't allow people to have phones on the golf course. So that may mean that I have to come back to the hotel a little early and sneak in some Giants baseball.
All right, babe. Listen, enjoyable conversation. What a dream for you. Congratulations on your second – your first April Masters really is different than
a
November
this
Masters.
This is the first real one. It was great fun in November, but this is the real deal.
And the fans and everything. So we'll look forward to your coverage. I do the app, so I'll be checking you out. And then we'll look forward to you coming back to Giants baseball. Dave, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, and especially, you'll be doing baseball today, but especially tomorrow morning and Sunday morning, before the leaders get out there, holes 4, 5, and 6 are a good way for everybody. You wake up, you have your breakfast, your coffee or whatever, and you sort of see how the course is playing, see what the weather conditions are like. I mean, it's a really good way, I think. Ours comes on earlier than anybody else's to kind of get a feel for what the day is going to be like at the Masters. So check it out.
Rest assured, I'm all over it. You'll be talking right to me, buddy. So I'll be there, man. Take care. Take care, Dave.
Okay. Awesome, Dave. Thanks,
good
man.
There
he
is, Dave.
Thanks.
Dave Fleming, man. This kid's career, man. Wow.
Well, he's like the James Brown of broadcasting now, the hardest working man in sports business. Yeah,
that was great, man. That was great. So, all right. Well, there you go. I got my fix, Paulie. Hope everybody enjoyed Flem.
Right.
Giants home opener. Let's shift the focus. Mike Kruko and the Power Hour coming up.
Here it is.
KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.